My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
What up, you guys? Before we get into our episode today about Glee Project Season 2, we have a special announcement.
Announcements, announcements, announcements.
So, we have put together some merch for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it on bonfire.com. It's just some t-shirts that have our logo, have the Recovering Gleek logo, and say friend of the podcast. We got short sleeve t-shirts, long sleeve t-shirts. We got pullover hoodies. This is kind of a beta test for us to do more merch in the future, just to see how it performs, to see how it goes. So you can find this merch on bonfire.com. And then in the search bar, you can search Recovering Gleek and it should pop up. The shirts do come in multiple colors. So don't think, like, the picture is a blue version of the shirt, but there's also like a yellow, there's also a cream, there's also a white, et cetera, et cetera. We also will have a link to them in our link tree. So you can just go through our link tree and click the link to go to the merch.
Mm-hmm. Big shout out to friend of the podcast, Leo, for suggesting Bonfire to us. He ended up just commenting on one of our Instagram posts, and that was super helpful. So that was a very cool of you to do, Leo.
Truly, thank you so much.
I'm very
much
excited about this. So you guys can, if you get the shirt, post about it. Let me see it. I'm very excited about this, you guys. Maybe we'll have a fashion show. I'm very excited.
Heck yeah. Fashion if you get the shirt, take a picture and tag us. Fashion show, fashion show, fashion show at lunch. Mm-hmm. We want to see them.
Absolutely. But yeah.
All right. Yeah,
that's our announcement.
Let's get into the Glee Project.
Hope you guys have fun listening to the episode.
Well, okay. Do I have anything to say for a cold open? Do you have anything to say for a cold open?
No.
Cool.
Which is interesting. We truly haven't spoken in a minute. We don't have a funny anecdote to tell the other. I guess we did just speak for an hour to each other, just hanging out.
We spoke for a very long time before starting this recording. Has anything exciting happened to me? The issue is I need something like quick and exciting, mm-hmm. you know, like it can't be a whole thing because we got to get that intro in. Let's see.
Do you want me to read your fortune with these phase 10 cards?
Yes, go.
Okay, tell me when to cut the deck.
Cut it.
I'm making a lot of ASMR noises so they know I'm holding cards.
Good. Good, good, good.
You got the blue 9.
What does that mean?
It means that you're going to find $9 on the ground of the subway. Congratulations.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to do one for
me. I can't wait. Thank you so much.
Tell me when to cut the deck for myself.
For yourself? Yeah. Okay, cut it.
Ooh, I got the 10. I got the yellow 10. Can you hear it, you guys? I'm ASMRing.
It sounds yellow.
This means I'm going to have to pee 10 times today.
About the same level of fortune, about the same level of exciting stuff coming our
Perfect.
Way.
I love
that.
We're
for
really
us.
Thriving.
All right, let's bring in that intro.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Recovering Gleek after our week off.
Ooh.
Welcome back to our coverage of the Glee Project, now into season 2.
Are you excited? I'm excited. It's newer, it's bigger, it's better than ever.
It's bigger.
The budget is huge.
It's badder. It's too much for Mr. Incredible. Glee Project Season 2.
For real. Okay, we just watched the first two episodes. Tell me, just really quick. Oh my gosh, wait. Hold on.
Are we getting right
don't
into this?
Don't tell me anything.
We haven't spoken
We're
haven't
not
spoken
getting
on
right
air
into
for
it.
A long
My name
time.
Is Lena Knatzer, and I'm a Gleek.
My name is Ian Allred, and you better believe I'm also a Gleek, baby.
We shouldn't get right into it. I was going to be like, let's compare and contrast already with just with the first two episodes, but let's get into that later. So you've never seen this one, and you don't even know any of these people at all, right?
No.
Granted,
I know who the final three are because I accidentally saw a picture of them once. And then obviously I know who wins because, like, you know, I saw them on season 4 of Glee.
No spoilers, though. Just kidding. How are you liking these first two episodes? Do you like it so far?
Yeah.
Certainly less drama than last time, I would say.
But I mean, did we have that much drama in individuality? Like, we're only one episode into the real season.
I guess not.
It doesn't really get extremely exciting until there's less kids, so there's more room for their personalities to smack against each other.
Totally. And more room in the show. That's the thing, is with these like first episodes, it's so much of it is exposition. They're only getting to know each other. There's not really room for them to have drama or the show to have drama because they have to name every character. You know what I mean?
The one big takeaway from these two episodes is that the Glee Project is truly going the way of Glee, which is that it was like, I don't know how popular the Glee Project was season one viewership wise, but it did get a really good critical response.
Yeah.
And you can tell that now all of the like Glee bigwigs are like, wait, actually, I do want to be on the show.
Yeah. So Lea Michele is here.
Ignore what I said last time. I actually do want to be a guest judge. And she's very first guest judge.
She's like, I need to let them know that I'm here and I care.
Mm-hmm. And then Ryan is like being much more hands-on this time and is like watching the homework assignments.
So much. Oh my gosh.
Oh. You can tell they're like, this season is going to be the biggest one yet.
Yeah, totally. I don't know. So much of Ryan Murphy's ass is all over this show. Mm-hmm. It like fills me with a rage. And like the more he talks and the more we listen to him, the more I realize he is such a freaking hypocrite. Oh my gosh, what is with that guy? Silly goose. Do you have anything to talk about before we get into it, or do you just want to get into it?
I just did a small thing where I moved across the entire country.
Gosh. How have you been?
That's why I was like, are we getting straight into the episode? Literally. I've had a lot of life happen to me.
I know, I'm so sorry. I forgot. What's that like? How are you feeling? How's your house?
My apartment is frankly beautiful. My bedroom's not. I'm sleeping on an air mattress on the floor.
Okay.
Very exciting. I didn't I didn't bring any furniture with me, obviously. Yeah. And so I had to order a bunch of stuff off of Facebook Marketplace, but I didn't want to order everything at once because I didn't want to order a bunch of stuff and then be like, oh, this doesn't fit in my room.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm just ordering like a few pieces at a time. And my desk and dresser are now here.
Ooh, you can fold your clothes now.
No, truly, I finally unpacked today. Yeah, I have good. This is like my sixth day in the city, and I just unpacked because I didn't have anywhere to put my clothes.
Yeah.
And then next, I'm gonna get a nightstand and a bed frame.
Ugh.
And then I'll get a rug. And then after that, it's all just like stuff to make it look nice. I'll have all the essential stuff.
Totally. Oh, I'm so excited for you.
Heck yeah. But I've been sleeping straight up on the floor.
Honestly, good for you. Honestly, I'm pretty prepared to sleep on a pile of clothes when I get to New York. I hope to have a mattress by the time I get there. But listen, if I even have a place to lay down, I'll lay down. I don't give a shit where it is, you know?
That's one of the things I was the most nervous about is I was like, I don't know what I'm going to sleep on my first night. And straight up, we were driving to the airport and my mom was like, so do you have like a mattress to sleep on tonight? And I was like, I can't talk about it right now. I'm too stressed. Yeah. But then like, literally, all I ended up doing was my brother picked me up from the airport and we just stopped by Target on the way to my apartment and bought an air mattress. And that
What's
was
it like to have family in the city? I'm going to treat Alex like my family in the city.
You should.
I will.
It's very nice. He does live 40 minutes away, which is annoying.
Yeah.
But beyond that, it's been great. We've seen two. Yeah, we've seen two shows together already.
That's so awesome.
Which also, shout out to friend of the podcast, Natalia. I mentioned this to you briefly, Lena, but I didn't like fully get into it. So as we mentioned on the minisode, you did not have cell service at all last week. So I was just kind of like living life. And Natalia, friend of the podcast, Natalia emailed us and was like, hey, I have this form that if you fill it out, I can get you free tickets to American Utopia, but it has to be this week.
Yeah.
And I couldn't contact you and you weren't in the city. So I claimed the free tickets and saw
Good
it with
for you.
Alex.
I'm glad.
And honestly,
was it awesome?
It was so, so fun.
Good.
It was such a great time. It was incredible. I knew nothing about it except that David Byrne was involved. I didn't realize that it was fully just like a Talking Heads concert.
I love that.
It was a great time. Shout out to Natalia. Thank you so much.
I love that.
Wow. Ugh. I also saw these are ones that I paid for myself. I saw Flying Over Sunset, which is a musical about Cary Grant, the actor, Aldous Huxley, the author, and Claire Luce Booth, the politician, all taking LSD together back in the 50s.
Did you love it?
I did. It was wild.
Okay.
And it was like, I don't know, it ended up being much less about LSD and much more just about like human connection and how
much like LSD trips end up being. Truly, I've never done LSD.
I was going to say that's kind of how the whole show is it's just like people use these trips to kind of try and feel more connected to like other humans and like the universe as a whole. It was mostly beautiful just because the show itself is so not commercial at all.
Yeah.
Like no aspect of that show appeals to the broad audience. And so you could just really tell that everyone who worked on it because they were passionate about the show and not
that.
Because they were like, we want this to be a huge commercial success and make a bunch of money. And that just made me really emotional. Also,
what?
I saw it with Alex and his wife. And literally during intermission, his wife was like, okay, hear me out. Is this show supposed to make me want to try LSD?
Oh my gosh.
I was like, I'm so glad you said that because I was thinking the same thing.
Dude,
She literally during intermission looked up on her phone, LSD, good or bad. But then, I love that. Hear me out. The playwright was responsible because act one, straight up, I was watching it and I was like, hear me out. Should
this
I try
good.
LSD?
Yeah.
And then in act two, a lot of them have really bad trips. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, maybe I won't try LSD.
No, totally.
So it all worked out.
I am obsessed with that. That's so fun. Oh my gosh. Can you hear my dog?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I'll tell him to shut up. I told him to come in here, but he's so anxious.
Me too. How you been?
I've been good. I'm an anxious mess every day of my life. You know what I mean? And I find myself like doing toxic shit, like picking fights with people because I'm like, I know I'm so close to like leaving that I'm like so anxious about everything. And I'm like, just my fuse is so short recently.
Yeah.
So, but I've been trying to relax. I still don't have an apartment, which I think is pretty normal. Most people like want you to move in like that weekend that you're looking. So I don't think that's super abnormal. But I don't have an apartment and I move in 2 weeks. So
heck,
I'm really nervous, but I mean, worst comes to worst. I get to the city and I'm homeless for a week and find an apartment while I'm there. But
yeah.
I don't want that to be the case. I'm okay. I'm reading a lot recently.
What are you reading?
Oh my gosh. So I love a romance novel. I love a modern romance novel. I read a book called, it's called Yes and I Love You. And if you're wondering, is that about a girl who falls in love with a guy who who's on an improv team? Yes.
No way. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Listen, I bought the book. I was just at Barnes & Noble with my sister, just like looking at the back of like, I was just at the modern romance table and I was just like looking at the back of a few books and I was just looking for keywords that I like. And one of the keywords that I like is fake dating, and it has a fake dating storyline. And so I was like, and she like runs a like, she essentially does like the media review in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, that sounds fun. And she has to, and then she's like, they say she takes lessons from a guy to like learn how to like, she has Tourette's. So she has to like learn how to like public speak because of a couple different circumstances. And I totally missed, I absolutely missed every sign on the back of the book and the fucking name of the book, that the book was literally about improv.
That's so the best part.
Her, I know. He gives her improv lessons. Oh, my gosh. It's so crazy. And then they like, she's like also, she like went through a pretty bad breakup with like her friend in college. So she hadn't dated a lot. So she's like, will you also give me dating? So they pretend like they're dating, and he gives her dating lessons. And then they're like, oh my God, Ian, it was so crazy. They do a bunch of improv games that like end in sexual situations. It was insane. I thought I was going crazy because I like, I know enough about improv. I was like, this is the most wild thing ever. But it was so funny. It was really fun.
Yo. Sound off in the chat if you've ever had a zip zap zop turn sexual.
For real, that's exactly what happens, dude. It's so crazy. And I had no idea until I literally, like, I was sitting there reading it and I said, oh my God, what's the name of this book? Yes and no.
The first rule of improv and the first rule of love.
Absolutely. And that's like literally the like... like that should be the tagline of the book. It's so
that is
funny.
Wild. Truly, I know. One of the main reasons I have wanted to move to New York was to take improv classes, just because like every person I look up to ever got their start in the improv scene, either in Chicago or New York. And I'm so bitter because of this stupid pandemic. All of the improv classes are over Zoom. And I'm like, that sounds like my own personal hell.
Yeah. No, I get them.
Like, improv, I do like doing improv enough, but it's, like, already awkward. Mm-hmm. And then doing it over video camera, terrible.
Yeah, totally. Like, in your own room, that's so embarrassing.
Exactly. It's truly humiliating. I can't
like, in front of your clothes?
like, my in front bed of your can desk? See me. Like, I don't think you understand.
Like, I've got a rep to protect in here, you guys.
My bed has a very different view of me than this. I can't let it know I do improv.
It's going to judge me. Yeah. No, totally. Yeah. I read another book about, I mentioned this on the minisode, but I read another book called One Last Stop, not to make this a Lena Reads romance novels and then gives reviews on her podcast, but it's a book called One Last Stop, and it's about a girl, a young girl, a young bisexual girl who moves to Brooklyn. That's me. And then she meets this girl on the Q train who ends up being essentially, like, she's not a ghost, but she's essentially a ghost from the 70s.
Wait, what?
Literally, I can't even explain it. I know, I lost myself. I can't even explain it, but, like, something happened in the 70s that is, like, keeping her on this train. Like, she can't leave, and she doesn't know that she's, like, stuck on the train. So she's been on the train for 40 years. She has no idea until she meets this girl, and this girl is, like, you're weird. Like, why don't you know about cell phones? And she's like, what's a cell phone? Don't fuck with me. And she's like, are you kidding me? And she's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, what year were you born? And she's like, don't mess with me. And she's like, no, for real. I was born in 1996. When were you born? And she's like, I don't remember. So then they have to figure out like why she got stuck on the train and like who she is and what her name is and like all this stuff. It's like a mystery. And also they fall in love.
Oh, man, sound off in the chat if you've ever fallen in love with someone who'd been on the subway for 40 years. Dude, been there.
It's like, it's so emotional. This one, like, was, Yes and I Love You was such an easy read. It was so chill. This one was like, I was sobbing the whole time. Like, so much drama, so much found family. Like, it's so beautiful. Oh my gosh.
That sounds very intriguing. When you described it on the minisode as two girls fall in love on the Q train, I was like, that sounds nice. Doesn't sound like my bag.
No,
but if there's a mystery and time displacement, sign me up. No, that's wild.
For real. It's so good. It was like, oh my gosh. I can't recommend it enough. It was so good. I have it if you want to borrow it.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Are you ready to talk about Glee Project Season 2?
Heck yeah. Let's hit it up.
Let's hit it up.
So up first, we got the casting special where they talk about how they came to choose the final 14 contestants who we will grow to love as this show goes on.
Will we love them?
Some of them, yeah, I would
we'll
imagine.
Love some of them.
So this casting special aired on June 2nd, 2012. It's very similar to how it ran the first season. Essentially, the first round, they have a lot of people send in video auditions. They also go to Chicago, Nashville, and New York, and it's just like an open call, and people come in and audition at the open call. Mm-hmm. And then from all of those auditions, they narrow it down to, I don't remember how many people, like X amount of people.
I think it was like 80.
Yeah, like 80 people or something who do callbacks in LA. So for that first round of auditions, they were given a list of like 10 songs, and it was pick one of these songs and sing it for us. Then for the callback, they like learn choreography with Zach Woodley, and they like sing with Nikki Anders and all of this stuff. And they keep having them go through different performances and workshops until they narrow them down to a final 30. Those 30 perform in front of Ryan Murphy. And then from those 30, he was supposed to choose a top 12. But in the same way that in season one, he was supposed to choose one winner and then couldn't decide, so he picked two, he couldn't decide on 12, so he just picked 14.
Honestly, I love that.
And that's how we got
have your cake and also eat it.
Truly, truly. It's just so funny to me. It's like such a running theme in how he runs these shows.
I know.
Is he like cannot commit to what he said out at the beginning. He's just like, I don't know. I like all of them. So because even season one, which I'm glad this happened, but even season one, it was like only one of you will get a 7-episode arc. And then it's like, just kidding. Two of you will. And then the other two will get a 2-episode arc.
Yeah, totally. I don't understand.
All right. Casting special. What are your thoughts right out the gate?
Oh, my gosh. Right out the gate. I love reality TV. And I love that these episodes feel like they want it to be American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's not. And I don't know. These casting special episodes, I think the first one was like had a bit of the charm of like a bunch of theater kids stuck in a room together and being awkward. And I missed that from this one. That one definitely, this one definitely wasn't there. I think people this time were more, it was definitely more American Idol this time.
Yeah.
Less like people getting together and celebrating Glee and like singing together.
Which I don't know if that's the editing. If it's like they want the show to be more mainstream and so they're trying to edit it more mainstream.
Yeah.
Or if it's just the types of people who are auditioning. Because I noticed how many of these contestants that I was like, do you watch this show? Like, do you even like Glee?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really think that most of the kids auditioning are not auditioning because they love Glee. They're auditioning because they want to be famous. And they're like, this is a way to be famous. Or I was talking to my friend who auditioned for Glee Project Season 1 way back in the day. And she auditioned over the MySpace auditions. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, yeah, my audition never even got watched. Most of the kids who ended up on the show got on the show because they had agents who booked them the audition.
Oh.
Yeah. So
agents?
It's. Agents. Which also. What? Which also. I was talking to a completely different friend the other day. This truly shattered my whole world. I was talking to another friend about when I was a kid growing up and I would listen to the radio, like Radio Disney, and mm-hmm. the ad would come on that was like, talent agents from Disney Channel, Nickelodeon, mm-hmm. and whatever, whatever, are coming to your town and they want to find talent like you.
Yeah.
And I was always like, oh my gosh, I really want to go and audition for that, but I'm not going to ask my parents because I know they'll say no. Okay. And I said to him that I was like, I always like really wanted to do that, but I was always too embarrassed to ask and who knows what would have happened, blah, blah, blah. And he so matter-of-factly was like, oh, well, you wouldn't have gotten it yeah. because they just have those things for show. Yeah. They just hire people because of agents. And I was like, what? He's like, oh, yeah, when shows do stuff like that, it's to give the appearance that like everyone has a shot so that people get really excited about it. But in reality, they're just going to cast the people who have managers and agents and they just yeah. do this nationwide search so that more people are invested.
Yeah. Well, I have done one of those like Disney Channel search things. I remember I was like 8 or 9 when I did one and I essentially like sang probably The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow and they were trying to sell me classes. They were like trying to sell me things. And that's when, and I remember this was back in my days of trying to like be a child star. It was like 6 months. and I remember we also went to like a modeling, like a fake modeling agency as well. And they kept trying to sell me stuff. And then like someone, like a family friend of ours was like, if they're trying to sell you something, like it's probably not real. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I can't trust anyone. So I stopped doing it.
Yeah, and I feel like the Glee Project open call was essentially trying yeah. to get people to watch season 2.
Totally.
That it was like, come audition because then you'll be invested to see who actually got it and you'll watch.
Absolutely. And like you see who, like even looking at who sent in video submissions versus who was actually in the room. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like far more people who sent in video submissions were in the top 14. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. I don't remember that because I truly don't remember any of these top 14's auditions, but yes.
Totally. But like, I remember I like Nelly's and Mario's and if I'm not mistaken, Allie's
was in person. Allie was sent in a video in season 1 that we saw.
Okay.
But I remember she was in person there. Yeah.
Maybe I'm lying to myself, but I think that makes sense. That makes mm-hmm. sense that like most of this is like, you know, just for the show and to drum up like excitement for the Glee Project, which yeah. honestly, that is very, like very interesting to me because I feel like if I auditioned for the Glee Project and didn't make it, I would not fucking watch the show.
You'd be bitter about it.
Yeah.
I definitely would. And I would hate watch it. And I would just be like, oh, I would have done this better than they would have done it.
Sure.
But yeah, so many of these kids like freaking Max, the country singer. I'm like, mm-hmm. do you seriously watch this show?
I know. And I get the, you're so right. I get the vibe from them, especially a lot of the boys, that they are mostly looking to be singers. Like they're mostly mm-hmm. looking to like kickstart their music careers.
Yes.
Or they're like that kind of stuff. That they're like, they're not trying to like necessarily be on Glee, but they know that because they sing, they like maybe have a spot here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. You know what is some bullshit to me
what?
About this casting special?
What?
Michael Ulrich, my guy.
Robert.
Really gave us Michael Ulrich. Jeez. Sorry. Robert Ulrich. No, I appreciate you. Robert Ulrich, my guy, really gave us an insight into Ryan Murphy's filthy mind. And he said, Ryan's looking for yeah. Finn types. He's looking for a boy to replace Finn, which we said this. Literally the other day that like Ryan Murphy is keeping something secret where he's mm-hmm. just looking for boys. And then Robert Ulrich confirms it. Confirm. No,
The direct quote is, one of the things that Ryan has said is that he wants young, that they could look like a freshman, and that he wants a new Finn. Mm-hmm. If you want a new Finn,
then just do have a casting call. Do a search call. For the Elle Woods.
Exactly.
And do a search for the new Finn.
Like, why are you wasting all of these other kids' time? And it's so dumb because there's so many quotes in this episode where they say, like, Glee is about giving everyone a chance.
I know.
And they always talk about how Glee is all about diversity and Glee is always about, like, being unique and being yourself and bringing in what makes you different. And then right there, Robert Ulrich gives away the game when he's like, we're looking for someone who is male, handsome, straight, and a jock type.
Yeah. It's like, seriously. Which, like, Glee keeps saying this. And they keep saying, like, Ryan Murphy says some bullshit in one of these episodes where he is like, it's not a singing competition. It's not an acting competition. It's not a dancing competition. It's like, what does he fucking say? He says something like, he's like, this is an inspiration competition.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, I want to scratch my eyeballs out. What are you talking about? I was like, you know that's not the case, dude. You know you're looking for a Finn. You're looking for a white, straight, handsome dude. Hello? Don't lie.
And it's
such, like, tokenism, too, where they're just, like, picking these people and, like, putting these people up on the screen to, like, make us think that something's happening that's fully not happening. Like, I know who won last season.
Yeah, it's so they can pat themselves on the back and be like, see, we care about diversity. Look at who our top 14 are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, going off of that quote of what Ryan Murphy is looking for, it made me laugh that Robert was like, Ryan wants someone young who can look like a freshman.
Yeah.
And I was like, look at the actors on your show, dude.
I know. Don't...
In season one, Mark Salling was playing a 15-year-old. Are you honest right now?
And that's so funny to me. Like, obviously we know, like, and that's something that people, like, criticize Glee about a lot, where they're like, that doesn't look like a high schooler. And, like, no, you're right, it certainly doesn't. But, like, just go for it. You know what I mean? Like, just keep casting 27-year-olds. Like, who cares? Like, maybe that's the funny part. But, like, to cast a 27-year-old and then to cast an 18-year-old, right, like, at the same time is like, what are you doing here? You know what I mean? Like, stop.
So in this episode, they had some previous Glee Project contestants come and be guest judges. They had Damian McGinty come, Samuel Larson come, Alex Newell come. Interestingly enough, Lindsay Pierce was not there.
Where was she?
Who knows why? Who knows whose end that was on? Maybe it was just a scheduling conflict. I have no idea. Just something to note. It was also so funny because, like, I don't know. It just speaks to how, like, flawed I think the Glee Project is as an audition process, at least season one, because I haven't seen season two. Because, you know, usually when they have these guest judges come in and they have, like, Idina Menzel come in, and Idina Menzel can, like, give you good feedback because she has experience and she's been in the business and she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah.
Like, I think Samuel Larson is a talented singer. I think he's a good musician. He plays a bunch of instruments. But, like, him at the judging table, the feedback he gives, he says to the person who performs, the fact that you came in and just let it all out, that's good.
Like, what? What do you mean?
And I was honestly like, I feel bad for him. Like,
I know.
They wanted him to do this, and I'm sure he's like, I don't feel qualified to be judging these kids. He's just trying to come up with anything to say to them.
I just, like, that's how I feel when, like, people ask me to, like, give, like, any sort of advice. I'm like, I don't know.
Seriously, like, we're in the same boat. I have no idea either.
I'm not Idina Menzel.
It's also funny to me that they invited Damian after they fully, like, screwed over his arc and wrote him off the show.
I wonder if that was happening, like, while they were filming stuff.
Oh, that is possible.
Yeah.
Because they mention that...
They just went down the road.
Yeah, they started casting, like, pretty soon after season one of the Glee Project had wrapped.
Yeah. And this aired, like, I assume, like, as soon as season three ended.
Yeah, it was, like, a month after, yeah.
Yeah.
Dang, Yeah, and these could have easily been, like, the open calls could have easily been in, like, the fall of 2011. So Damien was still like, I'm going to be on this show for many years.
Yeah, no, you're not. Like, I have made my big break here.
All right. You know what I love about this episode and these two episodes in general? A little guy I like to call Glee's choreographer Zach Woodley.
I'm in love with Zach Woodley. I just think he's the bomb.
The man is an angel. He's so incredible. He knows exactly how to talk to these kids. Mm-hmm. He knows how to give them feedback, but like make it funny. So if he's talking about how they messed up, it's kind of like, no, we're sharing a joke. Like, you're in on it too.
Yeah, totally.
And he makes them feel so comfortable. And also in this episode, we see him work with Allie, who is in a wheelchair. And we see him work with Mario, who's blind. Mm-hmm. And at no point does Zach make them feel like they're an inconvenience. At no point is he like, oh, I'm having to like redo this dance for you. Like, he is so ready to work with them, ready to work like within the parameters. Like with Mario, he's ready to like have Mario grab his torso and feel what he's doing. And he's just so great. And he makes all these kids feel so accepted, and none of them feel like they're being a burden. And I just think he's incredible.
I agree. And like Brooke is doing it too. And I just feel like, I think Zach Woodley is such a diamond, and like he needs to be on TV more because he is so funny and cool. And like even his talking heads where he's like, honestly, like having Allie in this room is showing me that like Kevin McHale needs to be working harder. And I think while he's not necessarily saying like Kevin McHale is a bad choice, I think it also just like shows like Allie Stroker is the shit and like is doing, you know, what Kevin McHale does on the show, but she is in a wheelchair. Like that's her life. And she is, you know, so it makes me think like we should be casting wheelchair users and things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And also like she can go above and beyond what Kevin McHale can do, because for Kevin McHale, it's not his every day. It's just like a few hours out of the day he sits in this chair. But she knows the experience. She knows all the different things she can do while in a chair. And so she can do much more exciting choreography because she's been doing it her whole life.
Absolutely. And I think Zach Woodley's attitude towards dance is so cool, too. Like, and you see it in this. Like, he really thinks that he thinks and believes and knows that dance is for everyone, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, always on the show, he's, like, so good at making people, like, you know, excited to be there and excited to dance and like, you know, is ready to work with those people and does incredible work on Glee. And I think he does great work on this show too. So I just love Zach Woodley. You're so right.
Seriously. Big fan, big fan, big fan.
Huge, huge fan. Love him. He's so freaking funny. And him watching him on the judges table too, you can tell he just like so cares about these kids. And the way he like clutches his heart when they sing, and he just like so is there to like cheer them on. I just think Zach Woodley is an angel. An angel.
We will get to it. So I won't say any specifics, but in individuality, when it's the bottom three performances, when the different kids in the bottom three come out, Zach Woodley is like beaming and he will like wave at them. And oh my gosh.
Totally. And I'm sure like this is such a scary, I couldn't even imagine. This is probably such a scary experience for a lot of them where like, you know, I assume a lot of them have never done like TV stuff, like especially like reality TV stuff. I'm sure it's an overwhelming experience to be filmed that much and like to be in front of these huge bigwigs like that are in charge of a thing you care about, and like to have someone on your team. You know, like of course Zach Woodley is a judge and he's there, and every once in a while you see that he is like, he means business, but he's also like on their team. And I'm sure that's like so comforting. I just love Zach Woodley.
I know. He's incredible. Come on.
I just think he's the best.
All right. Frankly, we're running low on my thoughts on the casting special. Do you have a lot of other big stuff?
Let me look at my little notes. Nikki Anders is a huge bitch. I love her. Every once in a while, she lets it slip how mean she is, and I love her for it. These casting specials mostly make me sad. mostly because of the Ryan Murphy thing. I think even the way, like, when he's, like, looking at all their papers and he's like, I don't like this one. I gave you this one. I want this one, you know, where he's, like, talking about them like they are objects. I really just am so uncomfortable with that. And, of course, like, we've casted things before, you and me. It's kind of one of those things you have to, like, kind of remove some feeling.
Yeah, you do have to be robotic about it.
Yeah, which it sucks, but, like, Ryan Murphy's a little too good at removing his feelings. And it makes me sad knowing how, like, young these kids are. Like, you know, Taryn's never been on a plane before. Like, you know, and so it just makes me a little sad to hear the way he talks about them like that when they're not there.
My main thing is I'm just like, we don't need to. I mean, I understand that it does make for good TV because you're like, who are they talking about? But I'm like, we don't need to film that.
Like, I know. Frankly, and it's also like, we never know who they're talking about.
Yeah.
That's not something we ever get to know. So I don't really care.
But like, the conversations that happen behind casting doors are not conversations that, like, everyone should hear. Because, like, frankly, there's X amount of spots and there's way more people. You have to get very real and very critical about people to, like, realistically narrow it down.
I know.
And so I don't super blame him, but it is like, we don't need to put that on television.
You're right, yeah.
a few things before they narrow it down to the 30 who are going to audition for Ryan. And they have, like, the however many that were called back. Some of the people who are called back who did not end up performing for Ryan. One is Marissa from season one's younger sister. Shout out to her. The other one, I swear, is YouTube's own John Cozart. We
you
saw
just
him.
Loves John Cozart.
I know. I swear it's him. It looks just like him. On season one, we saw him send in a video. So he auditioned for season one.
DM him. Let's get him on the phone.
I did, and he left me on red.
No.
I literally, at 11 p.m. last night.
No. No. I don't
at 11 p.m. last night, I DM'd him, and I said, hello, I have a wild question for you. Were you called back for season two of the Glee Project? I'm watching the casting special right now, and if it is not you, it is your twin. So everyone stay tuned. We'll see if he responds.
Maybe. No.
I mean, maybe he hasn't seen it. I sent it pretty late. But I was trying to get answers, and I sure didn't get them.
If they've read it.
Well, it says that he was active yesterday. But also, I sent it at like 11 p.m. yesterday.
Yeah, totally.
So he was probably active like during the actual day.
Yeah.
So who knows? We'll find out. Or he just will never answer, which is also very possible.
Maybe.
Also, going off of what we were talking about earlier, we're like, Robert Ulrich just fully said, like, we are looking for a Finn type, but he didn't say it to the kids. He said it privately to freaking Zach and Nikki.
Yeah.
It's just so frustrating because
Sounds of the City.
Yeah. Sorry if you can hear a siren. My window truly
Welcome
blocks
to
out
New York.
Almost
it's
no
been
sound.
Waiting for you. Welcome to
but
New York.
In a regular Welcome casting process, you know, you try and be that character. And then if you're not a right fit for that character, like, what a shame you didn't get it. But in this one, because they're being told it is a competition of inspiration, these kids are, like, divulging so much information about themselves to try and inspire. Like, God, there's a scene where Shanna ends up making the top 14. She's blonde. She's, like, a country girl. She's got, like, a little bit of a southern drawl.
She was in Abigail, you know, Taylor Swift's best friend. Redhead named Abigail, you know her. She was in her wedding party with Taylor Swift. I know.
Oh my
gosh.
I'll
find a photo and send it to you.
So
I was
Shanna
like, what? Is that Shanna from the Glee Project?
She's 1 degree away from Taylor Swift.
She has like shared space with her probably.
That's absolutely wild.
I'm going to find a photo right now and show it to you.
But anyways, Shanna is doing her callback for Ryan Murphy, and Ryan Murphy is looking at her questionnaire, and he asks her a question where he's like, you say in your questionnaire that you used to be called Crack Baby. What's that about? Which, first of all, what kind of questions are on this questionnaire that like one of the questions prompted Shanna to write down that she used to be called Crack Baby.
Yeah.
Is it like, what's your name? What's your age? Where did you grow up? What is your biggest personal trauma? Like, what? How on earth did that come up?
What did kids call you in school?
Like, what mean names did kids call you? Like, how did that come up in a questionnaire? But then Shanna shares like a very tragic story about her mother's drug addiction and how hard that was for her growing up and et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And it's just sad being like, she's sharing all this intimate information about herself because she wants it to like inspire them to create a character for her.
Yeah.
And they're just looking for a white male jock.
I know.
Like, I'm sorry, Shanna.
I know. And it sucks. I don't know. And it's like, it feels shitty because they're not trying to like get something for her to be a character on the show. They're trying to have her be a character on the Glee project. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to be like, look at how like we're changing these people's lives. Like, look at this girl. Like, she went through so much and now here she is on the Glee project, maybe on Glee. And it's like, you're just manipulating her. You know, you're just manipulating these people into like divulging all this information.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's gross.
I just sent you those pictures. Let me know when they come in.
They're here right now. I'll look at them right now. She's literally
I know.
Next to
Doesn't
Taylor.
That make you die?
They're not even like in the same wedding party. Like, it's Abigail, Taylor, Shanna.
I know. Literally, I remember when Abigail got married, I said it. That is the girl from Glee Project. I know it.
Oh my word.
I know.
Shanna.
I know.
She should have put that in her questionnaire. Been like, I'm very close with Taylor Swift's best friend. Write a story about that, Ryan.
I know. I wonder when that happened. Like, when did they get close? Do you think, like, Taylor and Shanna have ever, like, hung out? Probably.
Do you think Abigail just really liked the Glee Project and
maybe
that's how they got
she's
close?
Like, she, like, DM'd her and was like, you were cool on the Glee Project. Let's hang.
Do you want to be a bridesmaid?
I love that. Isn't that crazy?
That's wild.
I feel like now we're a little closer to Taylor Swift.
I do too, because we know Shanna personally because we saw her on TV, which means that now we have been in the same room as Taylor Swift.
I don't know what it is about Glee. It makes me feel like I know these kids. I don't.
Maybe it's because in Glee, most of the storylines are mined from their real life personal trauma. And then in the Glee project, they are told to divulge their personal trauma.
Sure.
And so you know them intimately as if you were their close personal friend, even though they're a stranger.
Sure. What's that called? Parasocial relationships?
Yeah.
I learned that from the trend that goes, wah, wah, parasocial relationships. I'm going to give a pair of fuck. You know that one?
I do.
People, a few people tagged us in one of those. For real though, Taylor Swift. Let me look at my notes to see if I have any other. The time that made me think that Nikki was a bitch was there was one girl who like the girl who had the glasses who did like the poem for her audition.
With the blonde hair, with the like really short blonde hair. Okay,
And she like gets emotional. She cries, right? Mm-hmm. And Nikki goes, "Are you crying?" Like, then she says like some like nice like encouraging stuff. She's I would say a good judge, but she's like, "Are you crying?" She's such a bitch. I love her. Oh my gosh, I'm so obsessed. Other than that, I don't really have thoughts from this casting special. Frankly, it's a little less exciting to me than the first one. Maybe it's just because the novelty is worn off, but maybe it's just because the spectacleness of all of it has gone up and the personableness has gone down.
Yeah, it's much less, much like Glee itself. Mm-hmm. It kind of tossed aside its theater kid roots so that it could be mainstream and popular.
Yeah.
What a shame.
What a shame.
So we'll just go over the top 14 really fast. So you
did
can
you have
all
like a guess?
Yes.
Did you guess this time? Yes.
So I'll go through my list and I only got two wrong, frankly. So good for
good
me.
Oh, good job.
So
much better than last time.
First up, I guessed Max Camp. So Max is a country singer. He's from Nashville. They like showed him a bunch and they were all like really excited and how Ryan's always wanted to have someone who sings country on the show, which is what they talked about with McKinley last season. Yeah. And also I was like, Cord Overstreet
Yeah.
Is like a big country guy. Why don't you just give him more country music? But
they were having like drama with Cordova Street probably at this time.
No, but this is after season three.
Oh, I guess you're right.
Because last season, yeah, he was off the show. But now this is between three and four. So like he's back on the show.
Yeah.
This is just, it speaks to the fact.
But also Mercedes Jones is a Christian character. Yeah. So
it just speaks to the fact that Ryan Murphy can never focus on what he already has. He's always looking for like the new shiny object. Mm-hmm. And then he just tosses it aside once he gets bored with it. Mm-hmm. Like you have country singers on this show. Just utilize the ones you already have. Anyways, I was correct. Max did make Final 14.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
So I knew Abraham made Final 14 just because I'd seen pictures of him. So Abraham, he's a little like, I don't know. I haven't seen the show. I just know what he looks like. He's got like a red streak in his hair. He's kind of like a bit of a like pop kind of guy.
Okay.
No, I'm asking you to help describe him having seen the show. My goal is I know most of our listeners are not watching the Glee Project, and I want them to have a baseline of knowledge of who these people are moving forward.
Oh, sure. Okay.
So how would you describe Abraham? Because okay. I fully can't.
So Abraham, he is like pretty forthright that he has never like had any like singing training, but he's like, I can hold a tune. The main vibe that we are getting from Abraham so far is that he is like a secret diva in his talking heads. Like he's, I think, very talented and like very charismatic. Like every time he walks into a room, he like knows how to talk to people. He knows how to talk to Ryan Murphy. He is like very charismatic. Mm-hmm. But he's like, well, I'm better than them. So that's the vibe I get from Abraham. But he's got like definitely a pop voice.
Heck yeah. Mm-hmm. So I knew that Tyler also made it. Tyler is trans. He just started taking testosterone like 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. So his voice is just starting to drop. He mentions that he has like the voice of a boy who's just started puberty right now.
Yeah.
He makes it through to Final 14.
Yes.
Blake makes it through to Final 14. Blake is like broad-shouldered, Bieber cut, brown hair, tall.
Untrustworthy.
I also knew that Blake made it to Final 14.
Yes.
Mario was a guess. I got it correct. Mario is blind. He's a huge sweetie. He is like so nice.
I love Mario.
And he's one of the people who I'm like, you actually watch Glee and you actually love Glee. Mm-hmm. Like, you're here because you want to be on this show, not because you're like, I want to kind of do the singing thing.
Yeah.
Then this one is kind of a cheat. Charlie got on the show. I knew Charlie was getting on the show because when it shows Ryan deliberating with Nikki, Zach, and Robert, Ryan literally goes, I loved Charlie. Yeah. He's in.
Literally, I loved Charlie's audition so much. He started singing, and like 2 seconds later, Ryan goes, stop. And then Charlie goes, what? And he's like, you're in. Go away. I don't want to see you anymore.
Truly, first of all, that was genuinely like a really funny thing that Ryan did.
Yeah, so
what
funny.
A whiplash of emotions.
I know. And Charlie, I love Charlie. Charlie is neurodivergent. He's autistic and ADHD. And he like is so funny and cute. And I love him.
Heck yeah. So I got that correct. This last one I got wrong. I knew they had to pick a seventh boy. I had literally no concept of who it was going to be. Mm-hmm. So there was this like country boy named Nick who had like a super thick country, like Southern drawl to the point that they had to put subtitles sometimes. And he talked about how he like listened to Glee on his tractor. And mm-hmm. Ryan kept being like, how did you hear about this TV show?
Yeah.
And they showed him a bunch. So I was like, I don't know, maybe Nick. I was wrong. Yeah. It was fully Michael. My one takeaway from Michael is that in his talking head, it's just like hard cut to his face. And he goes, I love calculus. It's really cool.
Michael like looks like a celebrity to me. I don't know which one, but I was like, is he famous?
He's famous because he loves calculus. He's the face of calculus.
My gosh.
Which, hear me out.
He was so funny. His whole arc this episode was like just balancing academia mm-hmm. and wanting to be famous is hard. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh my God.
I just love how Glee is determined to, like, which a lot of reality TV does, yes, this, to be fair.
Totally.
It's determined to make all of these people one personality trait so that it's easy to figure them out and keep them separate.
Totally. So, where it's like, this is the kid who loves math. Seriously. This is the kid who rides a tractor.
So, like, I'm sure Michael said so many things about, like, his love of music and, like, why he likes Glee and his family. And the only footage that they put in was him being like, I love calculus. It's hard because I like the arts, but I also like math.
It's so hard, too, because, like, I feel like they do that so often, at least with this show, where it's like, Mario's the blind kid. And, like, you know, they always, like, pick that. And, mm-hmm. I, you know, and that obviously gets problematic. But then it also becomes silly when it's like, Michael loves math. You know what I mean?
Okay, so for the girls, I knew Allie made it. Allie Stroker, yes. She's in the wheelchair. She has gone on to be a Tony winner. She has such an incredible voice. She's mm-hmm. amazing. I knew that she got it. Eileen, I also had seen. Mm-hmm. I knew that she got it. Eileen is Muslim. It sounds like she comes from a very conservative household, but she's like a huge flirt. And mentions,
she talks about how she's not allowed to use tampons, and Ryan Murphy mm-hmm. loves that.
Well, there's a moment where she's talking to Ryan, and she talks about how her mom doesn't even know that she's kissed a boy, and then Ryan goes, "Well, she will now." and then Shanna, friend of Taylor Swift, mm-hmm. who I also knew that Shanna made it
mm-hmm. because she's Taylor Swift's friend.
Heck yeah. Next, the rest of these were guesses.
Not, she didn't make it because she's Taylor Swift's fan.
That is why. Taylor came out on stage and she said, Ryan, I'm going to be in a wedding party with this girl, and I want you to know that she is talented.
Bye. And Ryan like, Murphy said, I love you, Taylor Swift.
I have to go win some Grammys. And then she left.
Literally. I have to go be the music industry.
I guessed Nelly. I was correct. Nelly mm-hmm. has like a, she's got a brown pixie cut. She's frankly very 2012. She yeah, plays piano.
Something about that is very, I love Nelly.
I know.
I'm
she's.
Like, I have such a crush on Nelly. Like something about these like people that embody 2012 uh-huh. are just, I love them. I can't get over it.
Yeah. If 2012 was a human woman, it would be Nelly. That's
I know, I'm obsessed
who she is.
With her. I love her.
My next guess was the girl with the blonde short hair and the glasses who read the poem. Mm-hmm. I was wrong. Instead, yeah. it was Taryn. Taryn, frankly, I don't think watches Glee, if I'm yeah. honest. Taryn is the one that she, like, this is her first time auditioning for anything in her whole life. This is her first time being on an airplane. Like, this is her first time really, like, taking a big swing. And here yeah. we are.
Yeah, she has a whole like talking head about how much she misses her mom.
Oh.
I love Taryn. I think Taryn has like the most interesting voice out of the group other than my girlfriend Nelly. But I think Taryn is super interesting.
Next up, we got Lily. I guess Lily correct. Mm-hmm. Lily is, she's got a phenomenal voice. She talks about how she's like one of the best female singers there, uh-huh. which is cocky, but it's also true.
It's so true. Yeah, she's got a very great voice.
She's also plus size and talks a lot about how like Glee was very inspiring to her seeing Mercedes be on the show. And Mercedes was like so beautiful and it didn't matter that she was plus size. And she finds that very inspiring. And then finally, we have Danny. Danny is a pixie. Like, Danny is like, she's got a pixie cut. She's also like very small.
I think Danny goes by different pronouns.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Look it up because I don't want spoilers. I don't want to like find out how far they go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Danny goes by they, them pronouns.
Thank you. So Danny is like tiny. They've got like a little brown pixie cut. They don't show a ton of them. They're just.
Yeah.
Look like a little sweetie.
I do like, just confirming. Danny's got this talking head about like, they're saying like, they have like a story to tell on mm-hmm. Glee. And I was like, tell me the story, Danny. I want to know the story. But like, you know, they're looking for a Finn. They're not looking for a story. You know what I mean?
That
I really
is,
like Danny.
Is so true.
So true.
So that's our top 14. The casting special ends with a music video, surprise twist.
I know. I was like, when did they even do this?
This was my big moment where I was like, yeah, no, this show is becoming too big for its britches. Although yeah. It was fun. It's yeah. all of them singing Edge of Glory, and it's like all of them arriving in LA and getting to the Glee Project campus. Mm-hmm. And then it ends with all of them in the choir room, like singing and dancing around each other.
Yeah.
And it cuts to Zach and Robert watching. And Zach goes, Robert, I think we're going to need a bigger choir room. And
why
Robert
did I
goes,
love that,
yes,
though.
We do. Cut to black.
Honestly, it was like when they got into the choir room and they were like dancing around and like being cute, I was like, okay, fine. I love the Glee Project. Even when I hate it, I love it. It's just very cute.
Well, that's your casting special, everyone.
H, yeah. You know what I think it's time for?
What?
A word from our sponsors.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
What up, everyone? Welcome back. We're now going to talk about episode one, the official first episode, Individuality.
Individuality. Oh, my
so,
gosh.
Yes.
Right off the bat, I was just going to start it all up.
Oh, I was going to do the little recap of
oh,
the
my
logistics.
Gosh. Yes, recap. Thank you for the recap of the logistics.
You got
forget.
It.
Forget.
So just a reminder of how this show works. So at the beginning of every episode, they have a homework assignment, which means the kids are all given a group number to perform that they prepare themselves as a group. They sing it in front of the guest judge. The guest judge chooses whoever they thought performed the best as the winner of the week. The winner gets to have like a master class with the guest judge. And then when they all do the music video together, the winner gets a special feature. So there's the homework assignment, then there's the music video, everyone performs in the music video, and then Nikki, Robert, and Zach choose a bottom three, the three mm-hmm. people who they thought did the worst that week. The bottom three each have to perform a solo for Ryan, and then Ryan and Robert, Nikki, and Zach of those three pick who is mm-hmm. not called back. So this episode, Individuality, aired on June 5th, 2012. The homework assignment was Born This Way by Lady Gaga. The guest judge was Rachel Berry herself, Lea Michele.
Never
Ryan Murphy was also there, but yeah. Lea Michele was the one who chose who the winner was. Mm-hmm. And the winner was Taylor Swift's very best friend mm-hmm. and fellow bridesmaid, Shanna. The music video was Here I Go Again by Whitesnake. The bottom three were Eileen, She Sang Without You by David Guetta, Tyler, He Sang ABC by the Jackson 5, and Max, He Sang Always On My Mind by Willie Nelson, and Max was not called back. And that's what you missed on the Glee Project.
There's nothing you can say. There's nothing
you
can
do. Hear me
out. There's no other way when it comes. His voice is so good.
He's incredible. And they mentioned multiple times that he only started singing 6 months ago.
No, he is incredible. I was like, his voice, I'm going to swim in it. I was like, if you're into this, you're into this.
No, truly. I was like, I don't even like country. And even I am like, you sound amazing.
And I was like, ooh, Nelly, I love it. It's
my
so good.
My gosh.
I know. He's got a great voice.
But
gone
though,
too
he's
soon?
Also.
I don't really know. I do get vibes that he's never seen Glee in his life.
Mm-hmm. He's the number one competitor that I'm like, you've never seen this show.
Yeah. They do all. This episode. And maybe it's just because there's so many of them, we're not really getting them like interacting with each other very much.
Mm-hmm.
But we do see glimpses of them like really liking each other. Like when they all come in the first minute.
Yes.
And then when Maxfield leaves, they're all like sobbing. And I'm like, I would have loved to see them get to know each other. Obviously, there's only like 40 minutes in this slot. They only have so much time. But I was like, oh, man, these early episodes in reality TV are hard for me.
I know.
But speaking of that, when like Danny comes in and like waits for everyone to come in and they all come in one by one, I was obsessed with that. And like them all like betting who's going to be there and like getting so excited when their friends came through the door. I was, oh my gosh, it felt like summer camp. I loved it.
Yeah, it was very sweet. It was very nice.
I know.
I can't wait for these kids to get in fights over trivial things in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
It was nice to see them all love each other right here.
You know it'll happen.
They also,
do you have any like, oh, go ahead.
You mentioned this last season. They also keep hammering home that only one person is going to win.
Yes. And I'm like, okay, got it.
They like, you can tell that they were like, yeah, we, you know, we couldn't commit to it in season one, but don't get any ideas. They say it at least twice in this one episode that they're like, and unlike last year, we're only choosing one person to win.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Do you have any like early faves? Obviously, this is just the first episode, but do you have any early faves? Like,
I love Eileen.
I know. Flirty girls are my
love
favorite.
Eileen. She is so funny. Mm-hmm. We'll get to it, but her Last Chance performance is absolutely amazing.
Face melting.
I think she is my overall favorite right now. Yeah. She's fantastic.
I love Eileen too. I'm glad you like Eileen because I agree. I think she is just, flirty girls are my jam. I think they're the best. They're the most interesting. And she is just like, such a ray of sunshine. I think she's great and so talented.
Yeah. Well, first up, we got Lea Michele coming out. Goodbye to the days when the guest judge was Ashley Fink. We now fully have the
star
Glee.
I love you, Ashley Fink, but some respect on her name.
No, she's great, but it's like you could tell in season one that besides Idina Menzel,
they're like, who has
none of the
today?
Big name actors wanted to be on this show.
Oh, totally. watching her come out is so funny. Like Ryan Murphy comes out and he's like, so I am obviously here with the Lea Michele. You can just see how much he like just like eats out of the palm of her hand, which like honestly good for you, Lea Michele. I only dream to have someone be that obsessed with me, and good for you that you got that and that you cashed that check. But like, it's so crazy to see them like actually interact as Ryan and Lea Michele. It's so crazy.
Also, she has she's talking about how, like, you know, bring yourself into the performance. We want to see who you are. Mm-hmm. And she says, direct quote.
Yes.
So much of the stuff that you see on Glee is stuff that we're doing behind the scenes. Stories that Ryan hears about our lives. Little things about our personalities. Which, like, is normal for a TV show to, like, take some inspiration from the actor. But you're like, with Glee, you know that it's their personal trauma and like scarring memories they have.
It's like Corey Monteith like struggling with a drug addiction and Ryan Murphy trying to scare him straight on TV.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, seriously. It's like Ryan Murphy heard this fun little fact about what Corey Monteith was going through. And so he made him confront his trauma on camera. Isn't that great?
So fun.
So make sure you tell us what your trauma is, everyone.
Yeah. So make sure you be yourself and share trauma with like, what?
Another.
And they make it seem so fun and exciting where they're tell us every secret and we'll put it on TV. Which like, what are you talking
about?
It's that's like, not a good thing.
You know, like tell us like any fun nicknames you go by. Sometimes we put those in the show. Tell us like fun things you do with your friends. Tell us your struggles with addiction so we can make storylines out of that. Come on.
Oh, I know.
Another wild twist that is frankly irresponsible. But I can see why they did it because it makes for amazing television is that this year on the Glee Project, the solos are not already assigned for the homework. They have to fight over them, which is so bonkers because that's not how the show works. Like when they get on Glee, the people behind the table will decide what they sing. Mm-hmm. So it's like not a skill they need to do to be on the show.
It's just want drama.
Yeah, it's purely for drama for the cameras. Yeah. That they're like, now all of you have to fight to get the line that you want.
I know. And someone has a talking head where it's like, who is it?
I think it's Eileen.
Eileen is like, so we're doing this like rock, paper, scissors thing to be nice. And I don't think that's going to last. So much of like the Glee Project season 2 is a lot of people being like, I'm here to win, not to make friends. Mm-hmm. Which like, honestly, I love a reality TV villain. I love a villain arc. I love a villain. I love especially girls who are like very ambitious. Like those are my people. But I don't know. I just like, it's so funny to me. Like, I feel like we've got like so many going in different directions. Mm-hmm. I don't know. One of my favorite, like, I'm not here to win. I'm here to make, or I'm not here to, what? Make friends. I'm here to win. Is, do you ever watch like Iron Chef Junior?
I did not.
Listen, I don't like cooking competitions very much other than the Great British Baking Show. Bake Off, I don't freaking remember. But I love cooking shows about children the most. And one time in like really what solidified my love of children cooking shows is one time on like Iron Chef Junior, maybe it was Chopped Junior, I don't freaking remember. But a kid goes, I'm here to win. He goes, I'm here to win and make friends.
Heck,
and I'm like,
yeah.
That is the vibe I love. And kids, I don't know, some like kids just have that vibe. Mm-hmm. So that's me if I ever go on a reality TV show. I don't care how much I love the lady villains. I can't be one. I'm here to win and to make friends.
That's the way to be.
I know.
And that, I don't know. Because watching that, I was like, I would be the person who was like, let's just do rock, paper, scissors.
I know, me too.
Like, I don't want to start yelling at each other. We both want the solo. Fair and square, rock, paper, scissors. Winner gets it. Whatever.
You know who absolutely embodies I'm here to win and to make friends to me? Allie Fullstroker.
Oh my gosh. She's the best. She's so nice.
She's so nice. She has an entire talking head talking about like six different contestants and how awesome they are. She's like, usually in the room, I'm the one that's talented. I'm the one with the story, but everyone here has got something going for them. And everyone here is like, you know, working hard to be here and like so awesome. And she goes through individually and says like lovely things about like half of the contestants. I was like, I love you, Allie. You're the best.
She's such a star. I don't know.
I know.
I think theater is very toxic because it's naturally competitive on it. Obviously, it's like, you know, there's one part, only one person can get the part. Mm-hmm. And it's always so refreshing because, you know, Allie Strucker's had an incredible career. It's so refreshing to see someone as talented and as successful as she is just being like, these people I'm working with are incredible and so talented and I'm so proud of them.
Absolutely.
I just love that mentality.
Absolutely.
Also, have you watched on Disney Plus, have you watched Encore?
Yeah, of course I have.
For the listeners who haven't, real quick, it's a Disney Plus show which needs a season 2. It's my favorite thing on Disney Plus, where they take like productions that were done by high schools 10 plus years ago. They remount them at the high school with the same cast. So some of them, straight up one of them, it's like a production of Anything Goes that they did in the 70s.
Yeah.
And they're now all in like their late 60s and they all come back and like play the parts they played when they were teenagers. Mm-hmm. It's so fun.
It's
lovely.
So cute. Yeah.
And there's an episode where they're doing Oklahoma and the guy who played Will Parker has since gotten in a car accident and he's paralyzed from the waist down. So he's in a wheelchair and he has this whole arc about how like his big thing in high school was that like he was the dancer and like that's why he got Will Parker, is that like he was the best dancer of the guys and that was something he was so proud of. And he's like, I can't do that now. And they straight up bring in Allie Strucker and she has like a one-on-one class with him where she talks about how to do choreography with a wheelchair. And she is so lovely and she is so supportive and like it is the most wonderful thing I've ever seen. And then, like, you know, I'm sure she got paid to do that. Like, I'm sure she did it because she wanted to, but she also got paid. But then she super didn't have to do this. They fly her back to New York. She's off on her own like in her own world, living her own life. On opening night, she calls him just to be like, I wanted to check in on you and wish you good luck tonight. It is so sweet.
I love Ali Stroker. I just think she is the best.
And his little dance break that he does during Kansas City is like, makes me cry. That show made me cry almost every episode. It's so good.
I love that show so much. It's like sickly sweet to me where it's like, mm-hmm. I cannot watch it very often because I'm like. Yeah.
That is feel good reality TV. That's like mm-hmm. reality TV where it's just like people building each other up and being happy, which is not something you see almost ever.
Absolutely. I love that show. I love Ali Stroker. That being said, like, just this whole rock, paper, scissors thing is so, it's such drama. I can't even deal. And it sucks so bad, too, because they're getting like half a lyric. It's like, it's just so dramatic for nothing, which I think you see, like, there's not a lot of drama with this one because it's like half a lyric. What can you freaking do? You know, no one is like getting a standout part here.
That's what I'm obsessed with, is these kids' solos will be, my mama told me when I was young. That's it. Yeah. Not even the whole sentence. And then someone else finishes the sentence. And yet they are trying their darndest to outsing each other.
I know. And they're like trying to put in riffs that don't make sense.
Exactly. They get five words and they're like, where can I fit in a riff? And it's like this lyric does not work with a riff.
I know. But it's also like that's the hard part, is they're like, you have to stand out. You have to stand out. You have to stand out. And it's like, how do you stand out? I don't know, riffing. Like, if you're not a riffer, go home, baby.
Oh
my gosh. And it's so hard too, because it's like, did anyone stand out? I truly don't even remember.
No, it was like sensory overload.
I know.
Because also each of them would try and like do a little dance too to get the attention when they came out.
Yeah.
So and truly another kid came out every 7 seconds. Mm-hmm. So I could not even remember anything I had watched by the time it was over.
Like tennis court, like back and forth, like, I have no idea.
Frankly, at the end, Lea Michele was probably like, you were all great. I just got off the phone with Taylor Swift and she said that Shanna should win.
Yeah. And honestly, I take Taylor Swift's word as law.
Yeah.
As law.
I will say I was pleasantly surprised by what great feedback Lea Michele gave the kids.
I literally was about to say the same thing. Like I'm inclined to believe that she's bullshitting them, but maybe that's just my like feelings. But like, she is so nice. Like, she picks out, obviously there's 14 of them. She cannot like go down the line and give a compliment to all of them, but maybe she did. I don't know. We only see her give like 6 people feedback, but it's all like so nice. Mm-hmm. Like, she is like, you are so, and she's like telling people that they're beautiful and that like, oh my gosh, I was like, Lea Michele, I love her. And then she says this lovely thing to Lily where she's like, Lily, you are just so strikingly beautiful. I want to look at you all day. And then it cuts to a talking head of Lily like crying. Mm-hmm. It is genuinely so sweet. And I know, like, seriously, if I were to ever be in a situation like that and to have someone like Lea Michele, star of a TV show that is so near and dear to my freaking heart, be that kind to me, I'd cry like that too. I just thought it was so nice and so sweet. And like, even her her like little one-on-one chat with Shanna, who ends up winning because you know, Taylor Swift you know, gave it to her.
Yeah. Taylor Swift wrote a Grammy winning song about her and she's like, shoot, well, I guess you win.
Well, fine. She their conversation was honestly pretty nice too. She's like, how are you feeling about this? And she's like, and then Shanna's like, oh, I'm just gonna kill it. I'm just gonna like go for it. Lea Michele is like, seriously, like, confidence is like all you need with that kind of stuff. Like, don't talk yourself out of it, because if you think you can, you can. And she's like, singing is just a muscle. And I was like, Lea Michele, thank you. I love that.
And then Shanna Foley does kill it.
I know.
First of all, she
freaking kills it.
This is like the feature to end all features, which I was kind of like, I understand that the homework winner gets a feature, but like, this song is essentially 80% Shanna, 20% the other 13 kids. But there's even when she's in the recording booth and Nikki is like, okay, and now you need to sing this note on the key change. And Shanna like ops up on the note and then goes down into it. And Nikki literally is so shocked by how good it was that
she, like,
it
falls
seems
out of her,
like,
chair.
It seems like Shanna thinks she's angry at first.
Yeah.
Because Nikki is so shocked, she goes, "What the hell was that?" And Shanna's like, "What do you mean?" And Nikki's like, "That was freaking incredible."
I know. It was so cool. Like, literally, first try, freaking kills it. It was so awesome. And I don't know. And maybe it's just the feature to end all features because it's like, there's just so many of them that, like, it kind of has to be that. But I don't know. It's a very good feature because she's, like, in the middle of the dance. She gets, like, the coolest outfit. She gets the most screen time in the video. I swear there are some people you don't see at all. Like, I don't think I ever saw Maxfield in the video ever, other than, like, his one solo. But, like, she is just in the middle of it. She's also very beautiful, so.
Well, even the concept of the video is like they're passing out flyers for their Glee Club performance, and then it cuts to the performance and no one's there, and then it changes to their fantasy and they're at a rock concert. And I was like,
and
wow,
it's
so
a
it's
very
just
fun video.
We're not gonna take it part two from season one. But
I still like it.
The flyers they pass out say,
"Oh, have her face on
it." Yeah, it is a picture of Shanna, and it says Glee Club featuring Shanna, whatever her last name is. And then literally the Glee Club performance is all of them on stage and her down center singing lead for nearly the whole song.
She kills it. Good for her.
Dang.
They're probably like, because she's Taylor Swift's friend, she knows how to work the camera and she knows how to perform. She does.
They keep talking a big game about these kids and how they're so excited to work with, like Zach Woodley, and they're so excited to work with Nikki Anders, and they're so excited to work with Eric White, who directs the music videos, blah, 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 and how they're so nervous. And then when we watch the music video, there's a scene where I think Taryn, like someone is walking down the hallway and they bump into an adult and he turns around. It's fully Iqbal Thiba who plays Principal Figgins.
Took me out. I was like, whoa, what?
There was no, in the whole footage of them filming the music video, not even a whisper of the fact that Iqbal Thiba was there. I would have been losing my mind.
Have I missed something? Literally, I was like, was I just not watching closely enough?
The reaction those kids had to Lea Michele walking in the room would have been me when Iqbal Thiba walked in. I would have been so excited.
I know, me too. He is my fave.
He's
love him.
He's the best.
But he just, like, bumps into, who does he even bump into?
It's one of the girls.
Is it
Eileen? Sure which one. I don't remember.
I don't remember. There's so many of them. I can't keep track of them. Oh my gosh. It's so funny. I thought I missed something. Let's talk about the peeps who were struggling this week.
Mm-hmm.
So Eileen is in the bottom, Tyler is in the bottom, and Max is in the bottom.
Yes.
Tyler, it talks about how he is, like, having a tough time, like, coming into his body, and he's like he's in this whole, he just started taking hormones, and he's still, his voice is still changing. He's still, like, learning, like his space. So he has a tough time dancing. And then what happens with Eileen? In my mind, she's perfect.
They just tell Eileen that they're, like, in the casting process, you were, like, so bubbly.
Yes.
And you were so, like, unapologetically yourself. And we just lost this that week. Like, you just kind of faded away. And then she even says, "I didn't think I did that." But it's just kind of like, she just kind of, like, faded into the background.
I know. I did see that too. Like, there were, like, full takes where she was, like, looking off. And maybe she's just, like, easily distracted. Because listen, sister, me too. It could be something like that, but I did notice that. And then Max just fades into the background. I didn't even see him in the music video.
Max just has never heard of Glee in his life and he doesn't know what the show is.
Yeah. I struggle with the show. I think it, like, inherently has a lot of problems. And I think one of them is it has to be an acting show. You know, we see Taryn and Maxfield both struggling, and I get the vibe from them. Obviously, I don't know their resume. I'm not sure. But Taryn, who, like, has never auditioned for anything, and Maxfield, who, like, just started singing, You know, obviously both of them like have incredible voices and are very special people. Like, it kind of has to be an acting competition, and they mm-hmm. kind of miss that and then just expect these kids to like sparkle on screen and kind of forget that that's a skill you can learn, you know, like an acting is a skill you can learn. And, you know, all of these things like sometimes sure come to people quicker, or some people have more experience in the field, but that doesn't mean like, I don't know. They just kind of like aren't very forthright with that, or they're just like, Taryn isn't like popping on screen, and it's like she's shy and she's never done this before, you know?
Yes, but I do also think that that is a reason to, although Taryn is not yes. in the bottom this week, but I think that is a reason to put him in the bottom, you know?
And listen, I absolutely agree. But I think they need to be honest about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where they're like, this isn't an acting competition, which like it absolutely is.
I also think there's just that deal. It's so dumb because everyone talks about it, but it is true. There mm-hmm. is that X factor thing where, you know, sure. like someone can be an incredible actor and they can be great like on stage, and then you get them in front of a camera and mm-hmm. somehow like, it there's nothing there. And yeah. then contrary to that, there are people who pop on camera and are so dynamic to watch, and yet like technically acting wise,
sure,
they're not incredible, but just like something about them catches your attention.
Yeah. I do think that is difficult when it's like you're judging these kids based on like music videos and then mm-hmm. trying to put them on a TV show.
Yeah.
Obviously we have Damien McGinty and Samuel Larson on the show who like are not prepared for mm-hmm. what the show entails.
Well, I personally, and I mean, I haven't seen this season before, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're aware that last mm-hmm. season kind of didn't turn out how they wanted it to with like the acting ability of the winners. Because Ryan is being much more hands-on from the beginning.
Yes.
Like, he showed up to see the homework assignment.
He's like, I know what I did with kids. Marissa. I'm changing
exactly.
my ways.
Yeah. He's like trying to see more of these kids than just their one-on-one performances. And also, I could be super wrong about this. I have not seen the season. But at the end of this episode, they have a preview that's like coming up on this season of the Glee Project. And they show like a bunch of clips of different episodes. And there were multiple clips that looked like acting challenges, like beyond just singing and doing a music video, that they were like doing some scene worky type stuff. But I might be wrong about that.
Call me a bad Glee fan, but I've only seen this season once and I really don't remember.
We'll find out. If they learned anything from season one,
I know.
They should have acting challenges.
They definitely should. Do you want to talk about the bottom three?
Heck yeah, let's do it.
Perfect.
So first up, we got Eileen singing Without You by David Guetta.
Oh, obviously we said it before. Kills it, kills it, kills it, kills it, kills it, kills it, kills it. Like, and she is just so sweet and cute and awesome and funny. And they're like, so you're a flirt. What's your, like, who do you like in the house? And she says Blake. And she's just so funny and cute and awesome. And I love Eileen. I'm just such a fan of her. I get mad at Ryan Murphy because he's like, well, you know, Leah sang that song on the show and it's tough to compare them. And honestly, like, absolutely get lost, Ryan Murphy. I didn't even remember. And also, Eileen killed it.
That's also weird because when Eileen finishes the song, which she does an amazing job, she finishes the song and Ryan asks, oh, why are you in the bottom three? Because he's yeah. like, that you were so good just then. Like,
yeah.
Obviously you deserve to be here.
Yeah.
And then she leaves. And then he says that to Robert and Zach, where it's like, what the heck? Like, you just told her she was amazing. And now you're like, well, Leah sang it.
I know. And it's like, why does that even matter? He's probably like, I got to do right by my girl.
Anytime honestly, anyone sings a Rachel that. Song, I just have to point out that Leah sang it and she sang it better.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I love that. I wish I had a friend that talked like that for me. Anyway, she kills it. That's the beginning and end of it.
Then we got Tyler. He sings mm-hmm. ABC by the Jackson 5. Mm-hmm. Ryan has a truly wild, he has wild feedback for Tyler. He says, yeah. and I quote, I love you and I love your story and I'm very moved by your story. But I don't know if I'm moved by your talent.
I know. I was like, ouch.
It's like, woof, Ryan.
I know. I know.
Ay, ay, ay.
And I don't even like know how to respond to that. It's like, what? I don't know. And then it's like, I thought this wasn't a singing competition. Like, don't lie.
Well, I think, you know, well, frankly, Tyler stays. And I'm going to be honest. And it's because, you know, Tyler just started taking hormones. He's going through puberty. Mm-hmm. Singing while you're going through puberty is so hard and so terrible.
Yeah, no, totally.
But I do, like, in my opinion, Tyler gave the least impressive vocal performance of the night. Mm-hmm. Like, Max and Eileen outsang him completely. Mm-hmm. But they keep Tyler over Max because ultimately Ryan Murphy is like, I'm more inspired by Tyler and I can tell more stories with him than I can tell with Max, who has clearly never seen the show in his life. Mm-hmm. So while Max sounded incredible, I'm sending him home and I'm keeping Tyler.
Yeah, totally. Speaking of, Max does a great job.
Oh my gosh, he sounds so good.
I know, I was like, is Max like doing something? Does he have a singing career?
Should I looked him up. He has like an EP, but that's it. He's apparently like sung with Shanna, like they've collaborated a few times.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, he's like married, has kids now. Good for him.
Good for him. A worthy endeavor, starting a family.
Truly.
Yeah.
When they're deliberating on who to send home, mm-hmm. there's a moment, they do the same thing where they're like talking about the kids, but you don't know which kid they're talking about.
Yeah.
And someone says, are they original enough to be on the show? Are we forgetting that the winners last year were Damien McGinty and Samuel Larson?
I know. Also, which one were they talking about? I love to try. I think
they're talking
about
Max.
Yeah, no, totally.
Because I think Eileen and Tyler are very original, and they were probably like, Max has an incredible voice, but is he original enough to be on the show? Probably not.
I agree. But it's also like, you don't care. You don't care about originality. Don't lie. I don't know.
Well, that's individuality, baby.
I know. There's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can do. His rendition of that. It's very
he sounds so good. He's such a great good singer. Which is weird because
Max will take up singing again.
One of the reasons he's in the bottom three is when he goes into the booth to record his solo in the music video in Here I Go Again, he like cannot get his crap together. Like he can't figure out. He can't find the melody line. He can't find the pitch. Like, he's having such a hard time. And it's bizarre because the other two times he sings in this episode, he is stellar.
Yeah, he eats it.
Yeah, it's weird. He just had a brain fart for a second there.
I know. Well, and you know, and he hasn't like been singing super long.
Yeah.
And maybe it's that. And maybe it's like, obviously, I know a lot of singers who like are like very like have like such a beautiful like sound and tone. And just sometimes like hearing pitch is difficult for them. But as soon as they get it, they get it. You know what I mean? Yep. Maybe it's something like that. And that's a skill to develop as well.
Yeah. Just sucked that it happened at like the most important part of the episode for him.
I know. Literally. Sure. Really shot him in the foot there for his dream role on his dream show.
He loves his favorite Glee. Show of all time.
Literally, he freaking loves Glee.
He's like, I've seen every episode 100 times. No. He was, once again, this is how you know he doesn't watch Glee. They have to sing Born This Way for the homework assignment, and he has a talking head where he says, I've never heard this song all the way through.
I know, it's like,
so you don't watch Glee because it's one of like the most famous performances on the show.
And like those are the big giveaways to me is when people are like, oh, I've never heard this song. It's like, then you haven't seen Glee, you guys.
Yeah.
Like, and maybe you're just like, maybe not watching as closely as we are, but like if you've seen Glee, you've seen Born This Way. You've seen Glee. You know Jessie's girl. Come on.
I just really quick want to shout out two things. One, Michael, he loves calculus. He's fully still in high school. He left high school to be on the show. He is 18, but he fully left high school to be on the Glee Project.
You would have done it.
That does happen on Survivor, by the way. There is a season where there's a kid who is 18 and still in high school and graduated early to go do Survivor.
Oh, I would do that.
And then this other one, shout out to love of my life, Zach Woodley, best person on the planet. There's a scene where he's hanging out with Mario in the dance studio and he asks Mario to teach him how to walk with his cane. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a fun moment, you know, where it's just like Max hanging out with Mario and Zach hanging out with Mario, and Zach like closes his eyes and Mario's like, okay, do this with your cane, walk towards my voice, blah, blah, blah. And so it's just like a fun moment, but it also just shows how willing Zach is to make these kids comfortable and make them like feel confident in themselves. And then B, how much Zach wants to understand these kids and understand their situations so that he can work with them more effectively.
Wow. I love it.
A superstar.
A superstar. Superstar. For real. I love Zach Woodley. Is that at the end of our first episode of Glee Project Season 2?
I think so.
Time
for best part, worst part, baby.
Yes. Doom, doom, doom. Best part,
worst part. Boom. All right, Lena.
You beat me to it.
What's your best part? And I guess you can do like best number, because we can't do like best homework assignment, best music video, because there's only one.
I mean, my best number is probably either. I don't know. I really did like the music video at the end of the casting special. I thought it was cute. But I'm going to say, you know, here I go again. You know me. I love a rock star transition. Heck yeah. But I think my best part of these episodes, you know what I'm going to say? Eileen killing it in her Last Chance performance.
Oh, heck yeah. I was going to say that's my best number is without you. She's so good in that.
What's your best part?
My best part is Zach Woodley. I just like...
Oh, yeah.
He takes situations that could be like very traumatic for these kids and like really mess with their self-worth.
Yeah.
And instead he makes them feel empowered and welcome and cared for. And I just think that is like so admirable.
Absolutely.
What's your worst part?
I think my worst part is just like, you know, Ryan Murphy, like, and the way that he talks to these kids is just not my jam. And the way that he talks about them is not my jam. And just like the casting process, I think, is a sacred process. One that like, I don't even like to look at, because I'm like, that's not for me. So like, and seeing like just him like be so robotic about it, which obviously we talked about is something you have to do sometimes with casting, but just like, I just don't like it. It just like hurts my little heart. And especially in like this setting where it's like they make you care about these characters and they make you think that like they like are winning something by being like maybe having a shot at something, and it's just makes me sad. It just makes me sad. What was your worst part?
I have a hot take, which is that I think in these two episodes, Ryan Murphy does a far better job than he did in season one. I think what he says to Tyler is like, you could have said that better.
No, totally.
But beyond that, there were like quite a few moments where I was surprised, like what a great rapport he had with the kids.
Mm-hmm. Like, you can tell he is very much in the business now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like he, when the kids are singing for him one-on-one, he seems to be doing a good job of like making them comfortable and like making them laugh. And like when Eileen is talking to him at the callback, he's like so fun with her. And Charlie, when he does the whole like stop playing, that was incredible, you're in, get out of here. Mm-hmm. Like he just has a lot of like very fun moments with the kids.
Yeah, totally.
So I just want to celebrate that growth that I saw.
I'll second the celebration. Doesn't make him not my worst part. Granted, you know, in these early castings, in these early episodes, there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. It's hard to you know, there's so much to look at. I'm going to also say I'd love to give my gentleman's tip of the hat to Allie Stroker, just being an angel.
She's the best.
An angel. I just love her. I just think she's the best.
My worst part is, which hopefully this changes, but how the show is less weird than it was season one. Like it's the kids that they picked are overall much more like mainstream kids. Mm-hmm. Like they don't have theater kid vibes.
Yeah. Even the theater kids don't really have theater kid vibes.
Yeah.
Like Lily, who is, I would say, like the most theater kid out of all these kids, like is still like not very theater kiddy.
Yeah. Like I want like a weird show about like musical theater little weirdos.
Yeah.
And this show is trying to be American Idol now, and yeah, that's disappointing to me.
Absolutely. I was even thinking, like, in that the first homework assignment, I was like, this is far less cringy than any of the homework assignments last time.
Yeah.
And, like, I hate to say it, don't tell anyone I said this, but I kind of missed it.
Oh, I don't hate to say it. I was like, I want these kids to push each other out of the way more.
I know.
I want to be embarrassed for them.
I know. What are the next episodes we're watching?
Watching Danceability and Vulnerability. If you have thoughts on Glee Project Season 2, on individuality of the casting special, send them to us, recoveringgleek@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts.
You can follow us on the social medias. We are at recoveringgleek_podcast on Twitter and also TikTok, and then on Instagram. Well, which one? Oh my gosh, I haven't said what our social medias are in a minute. Which one is
Instagram,
the one with the
TikTok
underscore?
Are the long ones. Instagram and TikTok are underscore. Twitter is not.
Yes. But you'll find us online. You could follow us there and interact with us and hang out. You can join our Discord. You can join our subreddit and have just a bunch of fun with us.
We should have said this at the beginning. I fully forgot. If you're looking to watch Season 2 of The Glee Project, links to it are on our Discord under the general tab, under the pinned comments. Also on our subreddit, r/recoveringgleek, there's a post that has a link to every episode on Facebook. So go check those places out. You can watch Season 2.
Well, I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Thank you so much for listening and being here. I can't wait to talk about the rest of this season with you guys and talk about the downfall of the Glee reality show. You know what I mean?
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. So again, we'll see you next time, you guys. Here is a kiss on your forehead if you accept it. Mwah.
Bye.
Bye. Go spread some Glee.
Oh my gosh. Bring project. That one back. go spread some Glee project.
Go spread some Glee project. See you later, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Let's see if the Thai restaurant down the street from me is open. Because then,
is it good? Have you been there yet?
Yeah, it's so good.
Eating good food.
Oh shoot, it's closed. No, I'm so hungry. Here's the deal. I moved to New York being like a city that never sleeps. I can go anywhere at any time. That is such a lie. Everything closes at 10 p.m. It's not even 10, it's 8:30 right now. But like everything closed at 10 p.m. I got out of a show and I was like, I'm hungry. And everything was closed.
I hate that.
So Frank Sinatra, you lied to me. I want to wake up in a city that sleeps after 10 p.m.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.